Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is We Talk Productions, one of the few black radio networks that focus on the solutions to our issues in black America. Presents Black Urban America. All you folks that listen by laptops, you could dial in at 516-531-9540. That's 516-531-9540. And press 1 if you have a comment or a question for our guest tonight. And we have an interesting topic and guest for this evening. But first, let me give you the lineup of We Talk Productions. On Tuesday, which is tonight, is Black Urban America, and I'm your host, Kenny Jones, with the co-host, Michelle Williams, who I will bring on in 1 second. On Wednesday, Michelle Williams have a show called Cutting Edge with Michelle. Thursday, we have Port of Harlem with Wayne A. Young. And on Saturdays, we have Provocative Thoughts with Carter Sneed. Now, next month, in May, Michonne and the Sister for Las Vegas is working on a project that focuses on black women issues. They will come on every third Tuesday each month. Now, the topic for tonight, well, first of all, let me introduce you to the topic for tonight. You know, black children make up most of the enrollment in Milwaukee public school system. Blacks make up 40% of the population in Milwaukee. However, it is considered one of the most worst cities for blacks. Their tax money go to private education. And according to our guest tonight, there is much discrimination for black children in Milwaukee public school system. In fact, our guests have a case with the administration in Milwaukee's public school system. Join us tonight is a school teacher out of the Milwaukee public school system by the name of Mrs. Beverly Williams. Mrs. Williams, welcome to Black Urban America.
Thank you, and good evening, Mr. Jones, and thank you for inviting me on.
Great. Well, let's start off. The first question I would like to ask you, is there discrimination in Milwaukee public school system, and how, if there is?
Yes, most definitely there is discrimination in Milwaukee public schools. I worked as a teacher, a special education teacher, in Milwaukee public schools for 20 years. I had heard many stories from some black educators about the unfairness and the discriminatory tactics that were occurring in Milwaukee public schools. I also had a friend who had worked in Milwaukee public schools for 15 years, and she was terminated and tried to fight the district. I had just heard horror stories from some other teachers of color about the administration in Milwaukee public schools and how they had been treated. My mother was also a special education in Milwaukee public schools, and she had some stories too. My mother's in her 80s now, but, you know, she had some stories from way back, you know, in the 60s, 70s, and 80s on how they were discriminating against African-American teachers. And here we are in 2021, and they have not stopped. It continues. I do come from a civil rights family. My mother was the president of Milwaukee NAACP for 12 years.
With the NAACP is very much involved with the Milwaukee public school system, right? Yes?
Well, I'm not going to say that. You know, I don't know. I mean, you must know something I don't know. because right now the NAACP in Milwaukee is not really a functioning entity. You know, they have not been functioning the way they should since my mother left office. But anyway, she did fight the mayor on trying to take over public schools during her tenure. She also stopped them from handcuffing children. So I do come from a civil rights family, and I have other members of my family who worked in civil rights. I was also the NAACP Youth Council advisor for Milwaukee. I worked with youth in the community, marched and protested regarding police brutality of a black man by the name of Frank Jude, who was viciously beaten by the police. I canvassed in some of the most challenging neighborhoods for nonviolence, education issues and health issues, social issues. Worked on searches for missing children, such as Alexis Patterson, Quadravian Henning, and Purvis Parker. May they rest in peace. I also helped with bringing publicity to missing African-American children in our city during the time that Elizabeth Smart was missing, and they were not giving enough attention to Alexis Patterson, who was missing and is still missing to this day. But at the same time, I dedicated myself to my career. I consider it just a job now, but my career of helping the emotionally and behaviorally challenged students in our community by working as a special ed teacher for mostly black boys in a special ed classroom who were considered unteachable by the mostly white teachers employed by Milwaukee Public Schools. As you know, Milwaukee Public Schools has 67% white teachers and only 16% black. And
Hold up right there. Uh-huh. I'm sorry but your school system has mostly black children, like 56,000 out of 77,000, right?
Well, in 2017, they had 42,260, to be exact, mm-hmm. and only 779 black teachers and 3,312 white teachers. In the state of Wisconsin, the entire state, 94.6% of the teachers are white, okay? There was an audit that came out in 2019 showing that Milwaukee Public Schools is not even trying or attempting to increase diversity in the school district. At the same time, they're firing black teachers at a higher rate, with that 779 black teachers and 3,312 white teachers. They're firing black teachers at a higher rate than they're firing white teachers. For a matter of fact, I am part of the statistics. In February of 2017, I was fired by Milwaukee Public School for a fabrication by a principal who I had filed discrimination on in 2014 because of some things she had done to me, such as, I'm a 16-year teacher. There's a document I have where we have, I think it's 10 teachers on this document. These white teachers worked 0 to 2 years, and they got the highest level on their evaluation of distinguished, whereas I was the only teacher on there that had 16 years, and she gave me an unsatisfactory. So these are the type of things that I was dealing with in Milwaukee Public Schools. I was being harassed daily by this principal. I had hurt my back because a student pulled a chair away, and I fell flat on my back. She put me on the third floor. We had no elevator. I had to walk up 64 steps up and down 3 or 4 times a day. She refused to move me to a lower level, but she put 2 white teachers on the basement level and the second level, who only came to school once a week.
So is this a regular practice within the Milwaukee public school system, the unfairness and these horror stories that you're sharing with us tonight?
Yes, it is. But, you know, and the unfortunate thing, Mr. Jones, is that I am a fighter. I am a fighter, okay? I haven't had many people fighting with me. I've had the support of my family. I've had the support of the few people that I consider to be very, very close friends, okay? But I have been fighting them tooth and nail. I've been filing complaints. I have been writing letters to the governor. I even filed during the Trump administration. I even filed a civil rights complaint against Milwaukee Public Schools for aid so that they can do an investigation on how they treat African-American employees. I'm going to give you some statistics real quick, and you're going to be shocked. After they fired me, of course, you know, considering that I worked all of my life raising two sets of twins, going to, you know, getting my degree, going to graduate school, getting two degrees, getting two certifications, and all of that, and at the same time being a wife, a mother, raising two sets of twins.
Williams,
I worked hard.
Mrs. Williams, can I ask you something?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Well, all of this activism that you do and teaching do you do and being a mom and a wife, do you ever sleep?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do.
One hour a day?
Yes, I do. Unfortunately, I'm just like other working folks. I may get 5 or 6 hours, but I do sleep. I do sleep. But as I said to you, you know, as far as Milwaukee Public Schools is concerned, I decided to do some research. After I went through the grieving process that those folks who are normal go through after they lose something, which I lost a job after 20 years, I started fighting and fighting hard. And I had MPS through Open Records give me data. And with this data, I was shocked because I found out, now this data ends in 2017, but I have requested more data, and MPS is messing around with me right now and not providing it to me. So I probably have to file a complaint with the state district attorney. But I found out that in 2016, Milwaukee Public Schools had fired 104 African-American employees and only 23 white.
Wow.
And then in 2017, they fired one. I was a part of this 116. They fired 116 African-American employees and only 23 white. I guess 23 was some type of number that they said, we're just going to get to this 23 and stop. Okay.
Wow.
So, you know, I was really shocked when I saw the data on MPS. And they had basically fired from 2010 to 2017, with more whites in the school district, they had fired 631 black folks and only 296 whites.
Why do you think Milwaukee Public School Administration or school board is so irresponsible towards its black staff, teachers, and children?
You know, I'm going to be honest with you, Mr. Jones. I feel that Milwaukee Public Schools needs a new paradigm because I almost feel that the school board is a waste of taxpayer funds because I've seen a lot of things, and I know that Milwaukee Public Schools Administration, they hide a lot of issues from the school board who are supposed to be you know, overseeing the district, and they give too much power to some who are in the district because they look at them as, oh, they're the professionals in that, you know, in that field, so we're just going to sit back and make decisions regarding money. Now, what ended up happening is I did go to a school board meeting when there was a gentleman by the name of Michael Bonds. He ended up getting into trouble for dealing regarding money, but anyway, And I had my signs up talking about the statistics that I just talked to you about. And I went up and I spoke on the mic, although he turned the mic off on me. But I told him there needs to be an investigation of all the African-Americans that were being fired in MPS. Now, at that meeting, he told me that they were going to conduct an investigation. For a matter of fact, to be honest with you, that's a part of our interrogatories for my federal case. I want to know what happened to that investigation.
Right.
What happened to that investigation? That's what we need to know. Because MPS, Milwaukee Public Schools, needs to be investigated by the Civil Rights Commission in Washington, D.C., as far as I'm concerned. But what's happening, too, Mr. Jones, is that the media in our city, they seem to be hiding a lot of the discrimination in Milwaukee Public Schools. They've had the statistics and the data for a period of time, but someone has been shutting them down on reporting it. Now, what's happening now is we have a new black city attorney, and the police union is going after him, and they're treating him the same way they treated me and others in Milwaukee Public Schools who are black. They're going after him for sexual harassment. They're going after him for giving Sterling Brown $750,000 in a settlement. They're going after him for whatever they can think of, but they didn't do that to the last white city district attorney who was there forever. But now all of a sudden they have a black city attorney and they're going after him. But I'm not going to have that much sympathy for him because, I mean, I hate this happening to him because I am fighting the city attorney. They represent Milwaukee Public Schools.
Wow. Is the school board put together? Are they elected or appointed?
Well, they're elected. We just had an election. And I think we had four or five of the school board members who were exiting. Some may have been voluntary, some kind of like resigning or whatever. And some may have lost maybe one or two, I think, may have lost the election. But I think we only have, and I don't think I'm incorrect, but I think we may only have two African-Americans. Possibly two African American women on that school board.
But how many is the school board?
How many are on the school board?
Yes.
Okay, I don't know. I don't know really. I couldn't tell you. I mean, just off the cuff, I couldn't tell you. Maybe what? I'm just going to throw a number out there. 8, 10. I don't know, something like that. Maybe.
Yes.
But
Sean, do you have a question for Mrs. Williams?
Oh, of course I do. Okay. My first question is this. How can Milwaukee students find success later on in life when they haven't received an education that will set themselves up for success as adults?
Well, I think that's the question nationwide. I mean, not just in Milwaukee, although Milwaukee is extremely segregated. Our children have to, first of all, they have to have a support system somewhere, if it's not in their family, they can have a support system with an organization, the Boys and Girls Club or, things like that. I know they have a lot of funding coming into Milwaukee now. So, with the COVID, and so a lot of there are a lot of startup organizations who are going to be supporting youth. But, they at one time, a long time ago, they used this term resiliency. They love saying that black children are resilient. It seems that whenever they have shootings in the suburbs, they'll send in counselors and everyone else to be available for the children. We had 20 shootings. And I want to say maybe two or three, if not more, children. No, seven. I remember seeing seven. Seven children were killed. Have we heard anyone in the city of Milwaukee say, we're going to have counselors available at North Division? We're going to have counselors available at La Follette just in case children want to come in and talk? Absolutely not, because that's not what they do in urban areas. But let it happen out in Whitefish Bay, which is a suburb, or Glendale, they're going to have counselors available for those children. But they look at our children as being resilient, you know. But
why are black Milwaukeeans worse off today than 40 years ago?
You said, are they worse off today?
No, no, they are worse off, just as bad. Why are they?
Oh, well, first of all, it's been 40 years ago. First of all, you know, Milwaukee, a lot of black people migrate, well, I use the word migrated, but moved to Milwaukee from the South. I mean, I'm a part of that generation where my parents moved from the South to Milwaukee for better opportunities. And my father was a truck driver. He was a Teamster, he still is a Teamster for life, still doing his thing. But, you know, my mother was a teacher, graduated of Tougaloo College. And they did have good opportunities then because we had a lot of the factories that were open. We had a lot of the breweries that were open. And black people at that time were making really good money. And then the breweries went away and the factories went away. And then we had one of the best welfare systems in the country. And so generations of families ended up living off of that in Milwaukee after the families kind of, you know, lost those really good jobs, the ones who moved here from the South. And then from that point, it's been kind of going downhill since then with, you know, segregation, the lack of real jobs where they can make a decent wage and all of that. So I guess you can look at it in that way if you want to say, well, what happened within those 40 years? And I look at it as where, the, like I said, the manufacturing went away, all the good jobs that people came here for.
I read a Levin's report. It's a 2020 report that showed 72% of black students in the metro Milwaukee attend hyper-segregated schools where students of color make up 90% or more of their enrollment. Do you think that urban black students are academically challenged because they are raised by parents or a parent who is also academically challenged?
Now, that is a kind of a tough question because, I mean, of course, they're going to, you know, they may not be as, I don't know, how can I put it, some of them, you know, some of the children may be affected by that, but, you know, there's also something called peer pressure where children are affected by their peers. And also, you know, some children just have it inside themselves to succeed, regardless of their parents being academically challenged or regardless of where they've come from. I mean, I know you've heard of stories of people who have been extremely successful in life, and they came from possibly a poor background, and they just had that drive. So some of our children had that drive, and some of them will succeed regardless of their home environment or, you know, their parents being academically inclined. I mean, that's the way I look at it, and that's just my opinion.
Well, what are the factors that have driven segregation back up to the 1960 era level there?
Well, I mean, economics, basically, economics. They took my job. They took my job for, you know, a petty reason and a fabricated reason. He took my job, and I was making close to $80,000 a year. I'm not making that now, of course. And so they took my job, but they're still, but the white women who did it, they're still making six figures and still working those type of jobs. You know, I work as a teacher still at a private school, but I'm not making what I was making in Milwaukee Public Schools. But the Lord, you know, has blessed me with a good family and a good support system.
What I don't understand is this, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
How
mm-hmm.
is it that black students who attend black schools, I don't understand why they're not learning, how they're not learning, and what is going on? I mean, because to me, it seems the perfect world. Mm-hmm. no matter where they go to school at, they should be able to learn. And get a proper education.
Now we're getting into...
I really don't get that part. I mean, I've never been to an all-black school before. But...
Oh, you haven't. You're in New York, right?
No, I'm in Illinois.
Okay, and so the schools you've attended have been mixed schools or integrated?
I've been to all black
schools. Right. Now, I've been to schools where it was only like 5 black students in the entire school.
Okay, so that sounds like me, because when I was young, I
don't understand is if a black student goes to an all black school, why can't they excel at an all-black school with people who look like them?
Well, let me answer that question. I think I'm the only one on the panel. I'm the only one on the panel that been to an all-black school. Okay, I went to an all-black elementary school, and I've been to an all-black high school.
I mean, what you said, but go on. Uh-huh.
And I feel that is the curriculum as the methodology of teaching and the lack of care towards these students. And also, you know, like Milwaukee, most of the teachers are from other cultures, and there are less teachers standing at the blackboard that don't look like you. And really, it's not that we're incapable of learning. Yes, we are capable of learning. I showed that when I went to another all-white school, all-white black, all-white college. It's the type of curriculum, it's the lack of motivation, it's the lack of encouragement from these teachers in the school system. So I went to school every day. I brought my books to class every day. Of course, I played sports. I had to go to school every day. I couldn't cut classes. So therefore, I was in that chair every single day. And when I graduated from high school, they evaluated me reading and writing on the seventh grade level as a senior.
Right.
A freshman year in college. So it's not the student. I say it is the curriculum and the staff.
Well, okay. And you know what? I'm going to say this. What you said about some all black schools not succeeding, I don't believe that's true. There are some schools, I have to get, you know, kudos to NPS in this point. There are some schools within NPS, there are a few, that are succeeding. And, all, you know, of course, all the students are black. But you have to have, and then you have private schools in the city of Milwaukee, the Choice Program came in, and you have private and charter schools where children are succeeding because there's buy-in from the staff, where they, you know, put in a lot of work, putting a lot of overtime. The morale is high, and they're working really hard to advance their students. The parents, black parents, are also very involved in their child's education and making sure that those children are there every day, getting enough sleep, getting their breakfast, and getting all the nurturing and care, you know, giving them the nurturing and care that they need. So I don't believe that, you know, with the school being all black, that it cannot be successful. Now, of course,
it could be successful. It could be successful if you have a curriculum that is in support of the black student, and if you have teachers that are show interest and look like the student. Also, it could be successful to me if the curriculum interests the black student and the curriculum make the student more marketable after they graduate from school, such as STEM, having a STEM curriculum, have the curriculum
The science and technology is very important, right?
Yeah, and have a curriculum that's more Afrocentric may be more interesting in the students. Press one if you have a question. And we also we have a call that's online. But I just want to ask you one question before we go to that caller. You know, there's a high, let's get back to the kids. There's the high rate of black students getting suspended. Why is
right.
that? And what are some of the reasons?
First of all, you have, we have 60s, and I'm not, you know, being accusatory, but you have 67% of Caucasian teachers, some of them new teachers just coming into the school district, not having any experience with urban schools and not really knowing how to effectively deal with behavior issues in their classroom, having classroom management. So because of that, of course, they're doing a lot of referrals and, the children are getting suspended. And so, and I'm glad you brought that up because I was just reading, I'd read a study by UWM talking about how, I think it was like 67%, it was some kind of in the 60s, I think, percent of the children who are suspended in NPS are black. And also 40% of them are suspended because of having electronic devices. So I don't know.
Electronic, right?
yeah, something like that. So, teachers are referring students for, once again, petty reasons or fabricated reasons just because they want their child out of their classroom. And then the principal's listening and suspending that child, which in NPS, the principals are afraid of the Caucasian teachers, and they mistreat the black teachers, so they listen to them. So, of course, they have a high suspension rate. They have a high rate of Caucasian teachers and a high rate of suspensions. So, I mean, it correlates, apparently.
All right, let's go to a caller that has a question or a comment.
Hello?
Welcome to Black Urban America 8051. You're on the line.
Thank you. Mrs. Williams.
Yes.
Okay, I want to address Michonne as to why I think some of the black students aren't succeeding in the white world of teachers.
Okay.
Number one, I think, is communication. Our family, who are black, need to upgrade their terminology and the way they talk to their children. They're
right.
using a lot of street language.
I agree.
Not formal for classroom instruction. We do speak a different language. And if your
right.
child cannot understand what the teacher is saying, sometimes it's not that the teacher is not, some of them might not want to teach them anyway, but if you don't understand terminology or words that they are using, you're going to be lost even if you're a smart child and haven't been in that setting. What we need to do is we need to go back to the family table. I used to spend my summers in Milwaukee, and I had a mm-hmm. wonderful time. When I was 14 mm-hmm. years old, that's the only place my mom would let me go was to my sister's house. And we stayed on the corner of 14 and Ring, and we owned that mm-hmm. two-story house. And it was
okay.
a beautiful neighborhood. And mm-hmm. when I lived in Kentucky, I lived in Madisonville, Kentucky, and they were giving seminars on how white teachers can teach the whole class and not let a black child learn anything. And they are taught how to do that. And they said they are it hard for black students to learn. But I went to an all-black grammar school, and my aunt was the principal of my school. And my cousin,
right.
one of them, was my teacher. And we only had one student in the whole school who could have been in special ed.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to have the teacher the care to teach the child. Some of them now are teaching out of their, shall I say, a degree. You got teachers teaching math that might be a history teacher. They don't know any more than the student. So it's a lot of reasons why students aren't learning.
Now, I want to say this as a teacher. I want to clarify this now. Although NPS has 67% white teachers, some of the white teachers are really good, and they are compassionate, and they do care about the students. Some of the new teachers are inexperienced. NPS needs to do more, just like the audit said, they need to do more with recruiting African-American teachers to make it more diverse. But as far as the white teachers are concerned, there are many of them who are compassionate and who care about the students, and they're doing the best that they can to teach. Okay, I blame the administration of Milwaukee Public Schools. The audit that was done in 2019 said they're not even trying to increase diversity within Milwaukee Public Schools. Now, there was a study that came out that said when the students can learn more when they see teachers in their school who look like them, because that way they're seeing success, okay? So it's all about self-esteem and motivation. So I'm not going to say that, now as far as suspensions are concerned, if you have a lot of new teachers, which NPS has a lot of turnover, if you have a lot of new teachers, you're primarily hiring Caucasian teachers who were raised in the suburbs and never really been around black children and don't have experience in urban school, yes, you are going to have a high suspension rate. But I am not going to take their educational training away from them and say that because they're Caucasian, they're not teaching their children, because some have a strong desire. I have some, you know, of course, I've been around many teachers who have a strong desire and are passionate about children learning in general, regardless of color. So I'm just going to put that out there. I want to clarify that.
Let me ask you something. I'm going to switch to questioning. How is the COVID situation with the schools up there?
You know, you and I met on Facebook because I have four Facebook groups. I have one group called Hypocrisy of Milwaukee Public Schools. Take a stand today and all of that. And you've seen my post, and I totally disagree with Milwaukee Public Schools reopening. And I disagree because 20%, less than 20% of the parents in the urban areas where you have all of the schools that are predominantly black have been vaccinated. Okay? I've been vaccinated. I know other people have been vaccinated. But they have not been vaccinated. So by opening the schools for 2 months, they put the children, the students, the staff, and the teachers in jeopardy. No, I do not believe they should have opened up NPS. And then you had 5 outgoing board members who made the decision to do it. And they're gone. And so in NPS, you know, they've been keeping it secret. I know of some teachers who've been out for 2 weeks quarantine, and because NPS, they've been exposed to children with COVID. So it's not, you know, they're not really reporting it, and the media, once again, is, you know, probably hiding the stories that they usually do with Milwaukee Public School. They pick and choose what they want to report, but, it was just a waste. I mean, they should not have done it. They should have waited until the fall, because 2 months is not going to help a child succeed in school anyway.
So are the cases high? Are the cases real high there?
But in our city?
Yes. I mean,
I watch national news and they have the United States map up, and I don't see our state in red. So apparently right now, we're not having really high incidence. We're not having really high incidence of the COVID variant right now. You know, at one point, our numbers were going up. I haven't said too much lately, but, I don't feel that the school should have opened. I think they should have waited. And then, you know, like I said, that's just my opinion.
Why do you think they decided to open and not wait 2 months till September?
Because, in my opinion, because of money. I think it has something to do with the funds. Milwaukee Public Schools, I had researched that. I think they're getting like $700 million or something. I don't know. But I think it had more to do with money, and they put, you know, money above the lives of the children, the staff, and the teachers. And I really don't think I'm going to, you know, I pray that it ends well. I pray that they end the school year with everyone in good health and no one, you know, having any serious illnesses or passing away from COVID or even increasing the COVID variant in our city. You know, I pray that that does not happen. But I don't have confidence in NPS administration. So I don't feel that they should have opened the schools.
Go ahead, Michelle.
Yeah.
Okay. Do they still have the Chapter 220 busing program there?
You know what? I really don't know. I really don't know. I'm not. That's something you would need to ask administration within Milwaukee Public Schools, of which I'm not, or someone with the state or something. But I really don't know if they have the Chapter 220 program any longer.
Okay. Now,
but
because of the Brown versus Board decision, which orders the racial desegregation of white-only schools, is that it led to the mass firing of black educators. More than 38,000 black teachers in the South and border states lost their jobs. Why won't white superintendents place black educators in position of authority over white students or white teachers?
Well, you said, why won't they put, say it again, why won't they do what now? Put black.
Why won't white superintendents place black educators in position of authority over white students or white teachers?
Well, I mean, I think they do. I mean, I've been in schools where you had African-American educators who were administrators. You had African-Americans who were teacher leaders.
Also say that those people would, like, you know, suck up, basically kiss the white teachers behind and treat
the black teachers
bad?
Yeah,
that's what I'm getting at. If they put them in that position, from what you have seen, if they're doing that, they're not really being an authority over these people. They're just basically being a figurehead in that spot.
Well, I mean,
if
you
that's
know,
what they're doing.
Right, and maybe I shouldn't have been so made it so black and white in that way. I mean, I'm sure. I mean, I'm over
overgeneralizing.
It is
black and white.
Hello,
Miss Williams. It is black and white. You got a high suspicion of students. You got a high dropout rate. You got a lot of black teachers being suspended. And you even said there's hypocrisy in Milwaukee Public School.
It definitely is hypocrisy. I mean, I always use this analogy. I mean, when you look at Milwaukee Public Schools and you think about the success rate of the students and the fact that Milwaukee Public Schools in the 2019 audit, it was shown that they had problems with and didn't even care about recruiting black teachers and making the school diverse, you compare that Milwaukee Public Schools with 67% white teachers, you say, okay, what about this suburban area? This affluent suburban area. Let's put 67% black teachers over 70% white students. What do you think would happen? It would never happen. Am I correct? It would never happen.
Even if it was like that, I think those black teachers will step it up.
They're
going to raise the bar
black
for those students. They're going to teach
not
differently
the,
than
right,
they are
not be
the black students.
Right.
Not in the state of Wisconsin. Not in the state of Wisconsin. That's what I've been reading and researching. Not in the state of Wisconsin.
Right. No, those black teachers would. I mean, they would give them. Come on, they wouldn't even be able to function in that district. First of all, they would never let it happen, especially in Wisconsin, because there's so much racism. They would never let that happen. They would never let Glendale.
I have a personal question to ask you.
Go ahead.
Why would you stay there and still live in that area?
Because I have my family here. I was raised here. I work at a very good school now with some beautiful children. And I like my coworkers, I like my administrators. That's one of the primary reasons. My parents are elderly. And I'm, you know, this is where they, you know, they live, and I want to live near them in their elderly, elder years. So, no, I have no desire to leave.
So,
go on.
Let me ask you this, Mrs. Williams. You know, do you still have your case pending against the city of Milwaukee?
Well, that's where you get that's the mistake. Now I want to say this because we've gotten off topic from discrimination in Milwaukee Public Schools to other topics. Let me say this. Milwaukee Public Schools is not a city of Milwaukee entity. Milwaukee Public Schools is run by the state. It is not run by the city of Milwaukee. Now, I am fighting, because that's another issue, I am fighting the Milwaukee city attorneys, okay, with a lawyer. And, yes, my case is in federal court and is pending because we have all this dissension right now in the city attorney's office, and they've gone through like three assistant attorneys working on my case. Milwaukee Public Schools is trying to open during COVID, a pandemic. You know, they keep asking for extensions. They had an extension for a whole year, so they're playing games, you know. Let me say this real quick. I feel there needs to be legislation. What'd you say now?
Go ahead.
Okay. I feel there needs to be legislation where the city attorney does not work as the attorney for Milwaukee Public Schools in the areas of discrimination and workers' comp. I feel that Milwaukee Public Schools needs to take money from their own state of Wisconsin budget and pay for their own legal representation and not use my taxpayer-funded City of Milwaukee attorney's office to fight me, the taxpayer, okay? So that's an issue with me. So, that is an issue with me as far as Milwaukee Public Schools and the city attorney's office, but because that's who I've been fighting for the last few years. I've been fighting different attorneys through the city.
We have another caller. 7244, welcome to Black Urban America.
Hey, what's going on? Peace, power, how's everybody?
All right.
Hi. Brother Jay, I'm calling from South Carolina.
Welcome, Brother Jay from South Carolina.
Yes, sir. Just basically, my heart goes out to, you know, the young lady and, you know, her struggle and those that are going through similar circumstances and situations and, you know, just wondering, you know, when we do get our liberation, I just do. So I will the sister well on her mission. Accomplishing her goals and doing the things that she needs and wants to have done.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your call and comment. Mrs. Williams, let me ask your personal opinion of this. What is your, and we touched on a little bit early in the show, what is your opinion about starting your own schools, black folks starting their own schools, to have the curriculum more Afrocentric? What is your opinion about that?
I think it's great. I think it's a lot of work, and it's something that I don't want to do. It's a lot of work, and there are some successful schools that were created by black educators, very successful schools. So, and I do feel that our children should be exposed to African-American history the entire school year, not just for the month of February, because that's where they learn, that's where they get their, you know, self-esteem, by knowing that, you know, people who look just like them accomplished many goals and helped build America. And it wasn't just one race, you know, black people built America. You know, from the White House, you know, to different structures throughout the country. So, but, you know, our history, of course, has been ignored. They also need to know about the struggle in the Middle Passage, you know, when, you know, black people were, you know, the diaspora, when black people went across the Atlantic Ocean, you know, into North America and South America, you know. So they need to know that, and they need to understand it. But I think that black educators, you know, those who desire to put in all of that work, okay, because that's almost like a 24/7 job, you know, running your own school. And I think, you know, at this point in time in my life, you know, the age that I am, that is not something that I desire to do. I had planned on, to be honest with you, I had planned on working, continue to work in NPS because, see, I had other things. I was, you know, working as a community advocate for years, staying up to 3-4 o'clock in the morning with press releases and preparing for different types of programs or protests and all that. And so the age that I am now, I had planned on working until retirement in that school district and, you know, and just enjoying my life with my, you know, my grandchildren and my husband and taking care of my parents and things like that. But,
yeah,
you're starting
to land the plane and you paid your dues. I understand that.
I definitely did.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. This will be my last question. And I want you to be careful before you respond, okay, since you're a teacher. Okay. You're still teaching. And this is like, I ask my guests about various issues. And this is one issue I ask every week, what have you. And this pertains to your field. Do you think that the public school education in America indirectly or directly teaches white supremacy?
Now that is a very, very deep question. If you want to look at white supremacy, now let me say this. If you want to look at white supremacy as far as the historical perspective, as far as only teaching history, you know, as far as, you know, from the perspective of white people talking about, you know, Columbus discovered America and, you know, all of those types of things, you know, possibly in that way, in that sense. But I don't know. That's a deep question.
We have another caller, Mrs. Williams. Good job of asking the question. Here we go. He's got 11:55. 11:55. Welcome to Black Urban Lab. We have a comment or question for our guests. 11:55, you're on the air.
Hello? 11,
yeah, you're on the air.
Okay, yes. Yeah. So I just wanted to make a comment about Mrs. Williams had stated that that there were more white teachers than black teachers, and it seems like the black teachers are being let go more often. And
yeah.
I think that's a big problem within Milwaukee public school system.
Why do you feel it's a big problem in Milwaukee public school system letting off these guys? It could be that they're incompetent. What do you think?
I'm very far from incompetent, Mr. Jones.
I'm just being the devil's advocate right now.
Okay, devil's advocate, because I didn't get a chance to tell you some of the things they did. But go on.
Go ahead. Uh-huh. Go ahead, share. We got 3 minutes left. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. No. Basically, the reason that NPS fired me was because I was going through a transfer, and they tried to make me out as this angry black woman who left the classroom in disarray as I was going to a different school, and that I took a pencil sharpener. Okay? But yet and still, they had, when I went to a hearing, they had a Caucasian supervisor who stated that a student in my classroom, it was very aggressive because I work with students who have emotional problems, that he should have popped me and told the principal that she should have turned the other way. And then the EEO chair, the Equal Employment Opportunities chair from NPS, he said that that was not advocating violence against a teacher. He thought that that was okay. And he still works for NPS. So, I went through some extreme discriminatory actions in Milwaukee public schools, and it's basically a symptom of what's going on across the nation. My issue is not as severe as some of the black men who are being killed across the nation and also in our city, like Alvin Cole and Jay Anderson and Antonio Gonzalez, Jacob Blake. He wasn't killed, but he was injured, and these police officers are getting away with it. But everyone's forgetting
there's all kinds of discrimination.
Right?
He was shot in the back. 7 times.
Right, and the police officer is still on the force. So yeah, he was shot in the back, and the police officer is still on the force. And the ridiculous DA, decided not to press charges on him. Just like the officer who killed Alvin Cole, the 17-year-old, and Jay Anderson while he was in a car, and Antonio Gonzalez, he was a black officer, but that's a different story in itself. But he now works for another suburban police district. So, just as those issues are, I look at it, based on life being much more serious than mine as far as employment. There are a lot of black people out here who are going through life-changing events with these abusive discriminatory actions that are occurring in these on the job. I went through it my last 5 or 6 years.
Got you right there, but I would like to thank you for coming on the show. It was very interesting.
Thank you for inviting me. You all put me through the ringer with all those questions, but go on.
That's Black Over America. You know, this is
Yeah, that's true. I stood my ground. I didn't prepare for
I stood my ground. You did wonderful, Mrs. Williams. And again,
and
I thank you. You're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Oh, bye-bye. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's another week. As you see, I keep on telling you, there is discrimination all over America, as well as New York, Chicago, Minnesota, Wisconsin, L.A. This is the climate of our country, and it's not going to stop. I always have a solution for it, though. Well, that's it for this week. As always, I'm signing off. I am because we are. We are because I am. Thank you.